The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
What an hour this is. We have Darius Rucker coming up and Shane Beamer at the bottom of the hour, two proud South Carolina men. And Darius Rucker joining us. So it's been a while since we've had a chance to visit with him. Darius, how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, Paul. How you doing, man? I'm doing really good.
We are doing great. A lot to talk about. We'll get to some other things that you're involved with in a minute, but we have to hear your recap of the Gamecock season.
Oh, I'm really happy with what I saw. Really happy with what I saw. You know, Coach Beamer finished ahead of schedule and to go and play the bowl game the way we did against North Carolina. I'm looking forward to some good things. Recruiting's good, you know, getting Rattler and stuff like that. Everybody's excited. So I'm pretty happy with the season.
Well, I'm glad because I know having been on that campus with you a couple of times, it has been a long walk in the wilderness, to say the least.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. But, you know, we seem to be coming out of the woods now, so we'll take it.
Well, let's talk about you for a second, because I know you've been busy. I've had friends who have seen you, who obviously are huge fans of yours, as so many in the audience. So what's been happening for Darius Rucker?
I've been playing some shows here and there. You know, I'm having a good time writing a new record. I'm really excited about finally getting a new record out. It's been almost 5 years, I think, since I've had a country record out or something like that. So, I got a tour coming up in the winter. I'm going to tour some clubs, some theaters I never got to play with Hootie and stuff. And so I'm looking forward to all the fun that's going on.
And I know it seems like these questions have been coming now for, 22 months. But I know you've been out there, but how much has COVID, stupid question, of course, gotten in the way of what you like to do?
Oh, tons. I mean, it's been a, you know, for a while there, of course, you know, it stopped it all. And now it every day, you know, you're taking COVID tests. Seems like every other day to play a show somewhere. And it's tough, but I understand, you know, I understand everything about it. So we just do it. And hopefully we'll get it all figured out here soon.
Let me ask you about your record. When is it? When will it hit?
I think in the spring. You know, I slowed down a little bit when the year started, and now I'm getting really, really kicked back in and starting to write a bunch of songs myself and with some friends. And so, I hope to be done with it here early, in early February, maybe middle of February, then put it out in the spring.
When you do this, and you mentioned you haven't done it in a while, I mean, I'm a sports talk show host, so forgive me for not understanding writing songs. But how do you attack it? I mean, is there a concept, or you just you start trying to marry songs to each other? What is the routine for putting a record out?
Well, once you know you got the songs, that's the hard part, is getting the songs and I always write a bunch of songs with my buddies in Nashville and. You know, I usually have 50 or so for every song. You only go to put 13 on the record. So, once you get the songs, it's just, you know, you sit around and listen to it. Because I still like to put out those albums I want you to listen to from front to back. You know, I don't really, not a big single guy. So, I put it in the order that I think it's telling the story I want to tell with the record. And, you know, it still means a lot to me.
Talking to Darius Rucker here, record coming out shortly. Darius, I want to mention one other thing before we get back to football. I know we mentioned you're a Gamecock fan. You're also a Dolphins fan, so the season wasn't as bad as it has been in recent years. I mean, I'm just reading what they write for me.
It's the truth.
But
It's the truth.
I know you've teamed up with the NFL for a collection by Fanatics. Tell us about this apparel line.
Oh, yeah, BCL Entertainment came to me about a year ago and asked me if I was interested in having a fashion line with the NFL, and of course I was. I'm such a huge NFL fan, and it means so much to me, and it's always so important in my life that thinking that I was going to have my logo get next to the NFL was unbelievable to me. But, you know, we got a bunch of great clothes. You know, it's doing so well. We're so proud of it. You know, we came out kind of late in the fourth quarter, and we're still doing great, and it's just a bunch of, you know, it's every team in the NFL, and it's fleeces and T-shirts and sweatpants and a whole bunch of stuff that people seem to be liking. So that makes me happy.
Well, I bet it does, and I'm sure. I know some of your biggest fans, and I think I've introduced you one or two in the past. And no matter what is going on, they never stop talking about you. I feel like I'm living with you sometimes.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. I have lived with you, Paul, so I see you every day.
Well, that's sad for you, I guess, but good for us. Darius, I remember when we were together a couple of years ago in Columbia. I think I was with your compatriots from the Blowfish, Hootie and the Blowfish. We were talking about being a South Carolina fan, and I know it's easy to joke about, but now that it seems like things have cleared up, how different is it, you know, seeing your team go out there and beat North Carolina, beat Florida, win important games?
Yes, it really was different. You know, we had years where we just didn't expect to win those games and didn't expect to be in a bowl game. And Coach Beamer, who's a Gamecock, you know, he didn't go there, but he's been one of him there doing what he's doing. Oh, goodness, did I lose you? No, I didn't. Here we are. It's great to have him there doing what he's doing and winning football games. I can't wait to see where he's going to go with us. For me, that's what it is.
And, you know, he's recruiting well, and, you know, getting Rattler, of course, is a big deal. But, you know, I wondered when he got hired, because, you know, a lot of Gamecock former players were behind him. And then I was on campus this fall for one of the early games, and I felt it. And I'm like, going, this guy really does have the fan base energized. This isn't just a hype video. And I know he's coming up here in a few minutes, so we're obviously buttering you up, buttering him up, so we can play some of this back. But what do you think there is about him, this connectivity, which you know is so important in your industry?
For us, really, you know, being a Gamecock is important to Gamecock fans. We love it. We're proud of our school, and we're proud of being a part of the school. And Coach Beamer seems to really want to be there. He wants to be. It's like, you know, Coach Staley. You know, what she does down there. She wants to be there. She wants to win there. She wants to develop her dynasty at South Carolina. I'm sure she could have gone to Virginia or any other school and done what she's doing, but she wanted to do it in South Carolina. And it seems like Coach Beamer's that guy. You know, we're not really afraid of, you know, him winning 10, 11 games and the next year going to another school. You know, we think he wants to try to build something in South Carolina. And, you know, we're all behind him because this year he proved that he can. He can recruit, and he can also coach him up. And so let's go.
I would like to ask you before you go about Dawn Staley, because they are the number one team in the country. They probably would have won, 2 years ago during COVID. They didn't have the opportunity. They clearly are the best team this year. And I know I've seen you at countless of championships and tournament games. How actively do you follow the women's team?
Oh, like they were the basketball team. I think I've been to two games this year already. They are must see TV. And you know, when you look at their attendance, you know, I think I saw the other day, seventh year in a row leading the country in attendance, and it's not even close. And you go to those games, and you know, I remember going to Carolina games. We were in school, you know, if there was 4,000 people there, it was huge. And you go there now, and it's 14,000 people. And it is awesome to watch. You know, that's, we expect them to win. It's not one of those things where, you know, winning is a luxury for us. We expect them to win. And like I said, I watched them like they were the football team.
Well, if the football team could live up to their standards, I think we'd have plenty to talk about here. So let's keep hoping. Darius, it's so good to see you. Hope to see you again soon, and good luck when the record comes out. Not that you need our luck, I mean, with your track record.
Well, I'll take it. Paul, thank you, man. I love you. I'm a big fan, and it's always an honor to be on your show.
It is our pleasure. Darius Rucker joining us here to talk about a number of things, and we will take a break. By the way, JT Daniels is in the transfer portal, according to various reports. We'll follow where he ends up. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So, Seth Emerson reporting JT Daniels and Jermaine Burton, the wide receiver, are in the portal. So those are one expected, the other one, a lot of raised eyebrows. Let's continue with more phone calls here. I appreciate Darius joining us. And how about Nick in Athens, Alabama? Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I want to let you know it's an honor to be on the phone with the great Paul Feinbaum, living legend.
Thank you. I don't know. I appreciate that.
Hey, I want to talk to you, Paul, about all these Georgia fans, man, saying that their team was so much better than ours. But, man, we won in that game. We didn't have our number one or number two wide receiver. We didn't have our cornerbacks. And we were down to just one of our running backs, Paul, and we were still leading at halftime.
Leading in the fourth quarter.
Sure enough, Paul. That was our game to have.
I turned it off. I thought Alabama had won. I'd already gone outside to celebrate.
No, Paul. But what do you think about how we would have done if we would have had all of our players? It wouldn't have even been a match, Paul.
Well, yeah, I'll spare you the cliches because they're too easy. I don't know how it would have turned out. Georgia had some guys missing on its side too. Listen, thank you for calling and appreciate your very kind words. Let's continue with Jay in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing? This is Jay from Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, I'm sorry. I misread my my list here. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes. I was calling, and thank you for receiving my call.
Sure.
Paul, I was calling about the Nick Saban situation.
Yes.
By the voting rights act law. And, sometimes I'm kind of disturbed how, sometimes when you got coaches coming to the homes of parents like myself who would be a parent, I would want to know if a coach see my son as just a football player or as a person. And that Voting Rights Act kind of pertain to our rights was voting suppression. I think the big thing about it is that Georgia won for a Democrat the last election, and now we want to throw all these different bills and different things. If if it would have went the other way around, it probably wouldn't even came up.
Yeah, for those who don't follow this stuff, Jay, Georgia is the epicenter of this battle. Georgia, you had two Republican senators who lost in Georgia for re-election, which helped make the Senate 50-50, which tilted Democratic because of the vice president. And then, of course, Georgia, in a surprise, went for the Democrats in the presidential election.
Correct. And, yes, and I just think, you know, I'm not trying to criticize. I'm a big Georgia fan, by the way. I seen Kirby when he was playing with Champ and Robert Edwards and
right.
all of them. So I'm a big Georgia fan, but the thing some of the callers that have called in, they don't think it's a big deal, but it is a big deal. We just celebrated Dr. King's Day on Monday. I think a lot of times we just quote some of his quotes, but we never live by them. So I just want people to realize that this is a serious matter, and I appreciate Coach Saban for doing what he's doing, and Coach Greg Popovich as well, who have really stood out and for what's right.
Jay, thank you very much for sharing your phone call. Augie is in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, did you hear about this Nick Saban thing? There's apparently some controversy with Nick Saban and an open letter to Joe Manchin. Have you heard about that?
I have not. I'm sorry. I've been watching the president all afternoon.
Well, let me fill you in. You know, Paul, there are two things they tell you not to talk about on radio. And I don't know this. I just hear about it. It's politics and religion. And you know what your show is big on outside of football? Politics and religion.
Augie, I don't know about you. I've thought about just shucking. I said shucking this football stuff in the off season, and just coming in here and preaching and you know, getting some of my friends from Congress to drop in. Tommy Tuberville, Joe Manchin, Herschel Walker, and just forget. John Edwards from your state, he would be entertaining, wouldn't he?
Yeah, John Bell?
John Bell Edwards. Senator Ogeron.
Oh, he's not in this. And then your old buddy, James Carville. James Carville, he could give you some good points on politics.
I will honestly tell you, I don't ever want James Carville on the show again. he accused the commissioner of the SEC of being involved in some nefarious conspiracy, which was the most bogus thing I believe I've ever heard out of anyone's mouth. So James Carville is officially banned from this show. We'll go ahead.
I got to say, outside of James Carville's love for LSU and LSU football, I do not stand near the guy on pretty much any issue. But yesterday, Paul, I know you were joking when you asked Joe from Red Bay, oh, you've never been to prison, right? The look on your face when he went into that explanation, you looked like you wanted to crawl into a hole and cover yourself up with dirt.
Well, yeah. So Legend had just talked about being in prison, and I knew that. I know Legend pretty well. And I just, you know, sometimes talk show hosts can talk too much. and I just casually said, as a transition from a bridge from Legend to Joe, I said, Joe, I'm assuming that you've never been in prison. And then he dropped the bomb on us that he had for involuntary manslaughter or murder or whatever. And yeah, I mean, you've been there, Augie. I mean, it's the quintessential in court. The lawyer asked a question just as a throwaway and gets the ball crack right back into his teeth.
Don't ever ask the question you don't want to hear the answer to. And of course you had no idea.
I had no idea.
Come back in. And you probably thought when he said he was in prison, it was probably for maybe, I don't know, stealing something from a 7-Eleven.
No, if I had to guess, if you say, okay, what do you what would Joe from Red Bay have been in prison about? I suspect he walked into a bar in Red Bay and, you know, told the bartender to turn the Auburn game off or something, you know, something silly like that.
Well, maybe that's what precipitated the murder. The guy was watching the Auburn game.
But I say to you, and I'm not sitting here promoting this show. There are enough people that we hired to do that. But let me ask you, Augie, seriously, what are the odds? Maybe Danny Sheridan can answer this question. What are the odds of back-to-back callers on this show both being in prison for some form of murder, both being from Alabama, and both being Alabama fans?
Well, until yesterday, I would have said 1,000,000 to 1, but today I'd probably say 10 to 1.
The truth of the matter is, the odds are probably not as long as you originally thought they were. Hey, thanks, Augie. We're up against the break. What an hour, the half hour this has been. We had Darius Rucker on a minute ago. Shane Beamer joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back. It's always great to welcome our next guest, Shane Beamer, who was co-winner of the Steve Spurrier Award for the best first-year coach in college football. Coach, hits keep coming. Good afternoon, and congratulations on an amazing first year.
I appreciate it. It's a great way to finish, a really fun day in Charlotte in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and a great great momentum swing right into 2022.
Coach, I assume you're busy recruiting. We just had Darius Rucker on the program about 30 minutes ago, and this is what he had to say.
Being a Gamecock is important to Gamecock fans. We love it. We're proud of our school, and we're proud of being a part of the school. And Coach Beamer seems to really want to be there. He wants to be – it's like, you know, Coach Staley, you know, what she does down there. She wants to be there. She wants to win there. She wants to develop her dynasty in South Carolina. I'm sure she could have gone to Virginia or any other school and done what she's doing, but she wanted to do it in South Carolina. And it seems like Coach Beamer's that guy, you know. You know, we're not really afraid of, you know, him winning 10, 11 games and the next year going to another school. You know, we think he wants to try to build something in South Carolina. And, you know, we're all behind him because this year he proved that he can. He can recruit, and he can also coach him up.
Coach, you made it when you get the Darius Rucker seal of approval.
Yeah, when you guys told me y'all were going to play a soundbite, I just was keeping my fingers crossed that it was going to be positive. But, no, he's a fantastic supporter of all things South Carolina, and I appreciate his support. I've gotten some great text messages from him after games, and I had a chance to sit with him. We were at Coach Staley's game against Stanford back in December and sat with Darius and his son at the game. And what he said means a lot, and he's exactly right. I want to be here, and nowhere else I'd rather be, because I believe that you can accomplish everything that you want to accomplish here at South Carolina.
Coach, going back a couple of weeks, I mean, I know you want to win a bowl game, especially one against a cross-state rival. But in your life, did you ever expect to get as much attention off of having mayonnaise poured on you?
No, I didn't. It's amazing how much publicity Duke's Mayo has gotten out of that, for sure. I was just telling somebody it certainly beats the alternative of not getting it dumped on my head, because that means we lost the game. But, you know, it's what makes bowl games great and has brought a lot of good attention to the University of South Carolina, a lot of energy, or a lot of buzz about our football program. And, you know, I'm afraid that a lot of people know me now as the guy that got mayonnaise dumped on his head, more so than the head coach at South Carolina. I've been out recruiting all week and will be out the rest of the week. And it seems like every high school I go into, at least somebody brings that up.
I'm sure you're used to, or you want to be used to having Gatorade, but I don't want to besmirch the good name of the Duke's Mayo company, but what's it like to have mayo? I mean, how long does it take to get that out?
It was an ordeal because the players dumped me with Gatorade already beforehand, so I already had Gatorade and I was wet, and then you just put the mayonnaise right on top of it. So it was a while. You know, they wouldn't let me. We did that in a tunnel there at Bank of America Stadium, and they wouldn't let me go back out on the field because they didn't want to ruin the turf. So I had to stay in the tunnel and get all the mayonnaise off of me before I could go back onto the field. Then took a long shower at the stadium and woke up the next morning and still felt like, you know, I had remnants of it on me. So I took another long shower. So a good 24 hours, and after that I was good.
I found it really interesting. I know you got into it jokingly with Dennis Dodd, a reporter who had some things to say about the ball game and your season. We've had callers really admiring that. I know you're not looking for battles, but did you have to think too long about cracking back at those in the media who doubted you?
I did. I sent that. We won the game, and I was certainly excited about the win. And was driving back down Interstate 77 with my wife and children on the way back to Columbia and saw that tweet. And it wasn't so much. I certainly added that at the end because of the expectations that a lot of people didn't think we could accomplish this year. But more so, the whole reason for that tweet, Paul, was really just in my mind, it was diminishing what our kids just accomplished. And the joy that I saw on that field after the game, the joy that that team had in the locker room. To win 7 games here at South Carolina after we hadn't been to a bowl game in a few years, that was a big, big deal for South Carolina football and a big, big deal for our football program and the players on our team. And I know how excited they were about that win. And I just took that tweet of his to insinuate that he was making light of it and that their bowl games aren't good. And people that want to talk about there's too many bowl games, all you had to do was watch our game and see the joy and passion that our players played with.
Talking to Coach Shane Beamer, Coach, you mentioned recruiting, and there's so much controversy right now and conversation about everything that's involving with recruiting, especially the transfer portal. I think we'd all be eager to hear your thoughts on where we are right now in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's driving so much of it right now. I mean, I feel like every time I go into a high school, we've been out recruiting all week. Seems like every time I go into a high school, when I come back out and look at my phone, someone, a name player or a player that we all recognize has now gone into the portal. And, you know, it's part of it. And certainly the positives, it gives young men an opportunity to better their situations if it's not a good situation where they are. And we've certainly benefited from it here at South Carolina, and we've been hurt by it as well. And we've lost some young men to the transfer portal since the end of our season that all left on great terms, and I had great conversations with and understand their reasons for leaving. But it's a different deal and something that none of us in college athletics have ever experienced before. And certainly there's ways that we need to continue to improve it and make it better for everyone involved, the players and the coaches and the universities. But it is what it is right now, and we're going to do everything in our power to make it a positive for us here at South Carolina.
Is there any way to – I'm sure there are plenty of ways, but what would be the best way to make this better?
You know, it's a good question. It's something I've thought a lot about. And you know, right now my attention's been focused so much on – okay, here's what the rules are right now. Here's what we need to do, and constantly trying to make to make it the best situation for us here at South Carolina. And as we go throughout the process, trying to, you know, in my own mind, think of ways to make it better. And I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I really haven't given a whole lot of thought to it because there's positives and there's negatives, and you want to make it right for everyone involved. And I know we have a head coaches meeting coming up as SEC head coaches here in a few weeks, and I'm sure that'll be something that we discuss that day. And I trust the leadership and Greg Sankey and the rest of the leaders across college football to continue to do what's right for this great profession that we're all a part of for everybody.
I know you're now rivals, of course, Georgia and South Carolina have a pretty heated rivalry, but you were part of that staff at UGA when it really all began. What do you remember about that in terms of how Kirby Smart was building that program? And I'm sure you had to take some pride in seeing what they did.
No, just really happy for them. Worked with so many of those coaches and a lot of the players that, you know, played in that game. I was involved in their recruiting process and have sat in their living rooms during the recruiting process. Some of the older guys, John Fitzpatrick, tight end, and Jake Camarda, the punter, and a few others. So just really happy for those young men that I had a chance to coach and be around. And really, you know, it's no surprise just seeing how Kirby worked from day one when he got the job in Athens. And how relentless he was, not only about recruiting, but just constantly trying to make that program better every single day. And that first year, we went to the Liberty Bowl and beat TCU. And then year two, we lost to Alabama in the national championship. But you knew with as good a coach as Kirby is and the way that they recruit and the support that they have at the University of Georgia, you knew it was only a matter of time before they got back. And happy for them, happy to have another national champion here in the Southeastern Conference, to have Alabama to win the SEC and then play in the national championship. It was a great day for our league and a testament to what all the programs in this conference are about.
Finally, Coach, I know it is all about recruiting right now. Coming off of a 7-win season, a big bowl game, and some really significant wins, what do you sense today versus a year ago, and it was a little bit different to say the least, but just in terms of the momentum and the direction of this program?
No, I think it's completely different. First of all, within Columbia, within our university, within our facility, the confidence and the feeling that we have now that we didn't have a year ago, and credit the young men in our program for that. And then on the outside, without a doubt, when I go into high schools, I didn't go into any high schools last year because of COVID, but there's certainly a great reception that we get. I think there's a lot of young men that are interested in South Carolina that maybe weren't interested last year at this time. And we're still building. We have a long ways to go. This year was a great first year, but there is certainly a lot of excitement about South Carolina football right now, and rightfully so. And I think when you have young men that have transferred into our program, guys like Spencer Rattler and Austin Stogner and name guys like that, that when they come in, that opens up a lot of eyes to others across college football. Great players want to play with great players, and when they see that, you know, Spencer Rattler, for example, could have chosen any team in the country to go to, and he chose South Carolina, I think that makes a strong statement and about not only what we're about, but what we're doing, and also the amount of the young men that we have coming back in our program. We had a lot of guys, Paul, that could have transferred to other schools, could have entered the NFL draft, and the bulk of our team is returning, and that makes me proud as the head coach that they believe in what we're doing on and off the field.
Finally, I know you never want to temper the fans, but they are getting pretty carried away with the enthusiasm, which is what you want. But what do you say to fans when they stop you wherever you are and say, Coach, what is the ceiling here?
Yeah, you know, it's stay patient. I believe there is no ceiling, and I meant what I said at the beginning responding to Darius, is that we can accomplish everything that we need to here. And you see what Dawn Staley and did with women's basketball, winning a national championship. You see Ray Tanner winning a national championship in baseball and other sports here at Carolina. And we have everything that we need here to be successful, but you also better understand that you play in the most competitive conference in the country, and people are getting excited because there's been some of those preseason polls that have come out that have us ranked in the top 25. And I look at it and I think eight of our opponents are ranked in some of those preseason polls higher than us. So we know that we certainly did a lot of great things this past season. We're not happy with being 7-6. That's not the end goal, but it was a great start. But we also understand the amount of work that it took to win 7 games, and it's going to take that much more to take the next step to go to the next level here at South Carolina.
Shane Beamer coming off a great season. Coach, always great to see you. Thanks for the time. Be well.
Thank you. Always appreciate it. Thank you, Paul.
You got it. Shane Beamer getting ready to wrap up recruiting here the next couple of weeks. Busy hour with Darius Rucker and Shane Beamer. We're heading to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He is back, Stetson Bennett, the star of the championship, coming back for another year. And back to your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And Nick is up next. Hello, Nick. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. So I've always liked Sylvester Croom. You know, I went to Alabama, as did he. And, you know, and during that interview, I was just, again, disappointed that it came back to the number of black coaches. And I hope so. If I asked you, Paul, what's the percentage of black cardiologists in America? Like, what would you say? What would be your guess?
Well, I'm guessing it would be very, very small. The difference, though, is this. They are not chosen, nor are they, in most cases, working at public universities.
Well, so let's just say airline pilots. What percentage of
I'll be as benevolent about this as I can be. I don't know the answer to any of these questions.
So it's less than the number of black football coaches. The number of cardiologists is less. It's considerably less. It's 3%. Airline pilots, Air Force pilots. I mean, we all know the Air Force is probably not fair. I guess. My point is, Paul, why does it always come to there has to be some sort of percentage that matches some other percentage rather than just, hey, look, you know, the cream rises to the top?
Well, the argument I've heard from Sylvester Croom and others isn't that they're looking for big numbers. They're looking for opportunities. And that's what he said.
Do you think that they don't have an opportunity? Do you think that?
Well, I think it is certainly it has been a challenge in the past. I think it's getting better. I am not one of those who go around measuring. To me, I think everyone in that field should be hired based on their not only their ability, but how they project in terms of success.
You know, Paul, I know you have told me in the past that you don't have a whole lot of say in the production of the show or the back end from an executive management that you just sit in the chair. Now, whether or not that's, I know you, I know you're tongue in cheek a bit, so I don't know if that's really the truth. But let's just say for a minute that someone came to you and said, hey, you know, Paul, we're going to need to have, you know, a couple of people in this seat, a couple of people in this seat, and it has to meet some, you know, nebulous percentage on ethnicity. I mean, how would that sit with you?
Well, first of all, I accept all of that as part of what we do. I work at a public company that is very vocal about how
well we know
it hires.
I mean, yeah, Paul, we know how many minorities are on the board of Disney. It's not very high. So that's not a
well,
valid
listen, I don't know that. I don't know the answer. I don't really know, but I'm willing to bet you it actually is reasonably high.
Okay, so what would you say it is?
I don't know, but I mean, I could easily look it
high.
Up.
Reasonably high. Paul, give me a reasonably high number, for God's sake.
Nick, I'm not. I don't know, because it's something that we could both look up in about 2 minutes.
Well, I know, but that's my point, Paul. It's like. Like at some point in time, you know, Nick Saban took a stand. I would like to see you take a stand on some questions that callers have rather than just trying to play, you know, you fell off the turnip truck and you're just
Nick, first of all, I've never, I mean, there are some things I don't know the answer to, so maybe I feign ignorance. The question you just asked me,
well,
but I also understand the world that we live in, and I've embraced it. I've chosen to host this show. I have chosen to work for this company. And when you do that, you accept the beliefs of the people that employ you. That is as simple as I can make it.
I'm talking about your beliefs. I'm talking about what I'm trying to get to here, and this ties into the Nick Saban. At least he came forward, right or wrong, if somebody agrees. At least he took a stand. I'm looking for you to take a stand because, Paul, I've been listening to you and watching you for a very long time. And, you know, it's the always the same old diatribe of, I don't know much about this. I'm just a silly talk show host. You know,
well,
all these things.
I ask
you
back, though, Nick.
Why don't you give us some opinion of you,
Paul? Let me offer this. There is no question. Nick, I have, you know me well enough to know that I have certain beliefs, and I hold those beliefs very strongly. However, I don't feel my job here is to push my political beliefs on the audience. Now, many do that, and they're welcome to. I have chosen not to do that.
Paul, you've shared your thoughts on a lot of things, you know, off the cuff, right? I mean, I think I remember one time you had said, oh, I can't even remember the guy's name. He works for CNN, but you called him actually like a reporter, which was like, it made me laugh out loud. Like, we all know where you kind of stand politically, and that's fine. But my point is, why don't you be just a little bit more?
Well, Nick, first of all, I sincerely doubt that you really do know where I stand politically, because you may think you see crumbs along the way, but I'm willing to bet you would probably be very surprised. We are coming back for another hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.